Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review today. We're continuing with our course, Personal Evangelism. Today we're on session number 2, which is entitled Be Prepared. So I pray that you have your study guide, your note-taking material, as you prepare to study and review this particular lesson. Now, this session will inform the students on how to be equipped effectively to do personal evangelism. And so we're going to take a moment to pray, as we always do, in preparation to teach and to learn this lesson. We're going to pray from our heart and from our life experiences, and we're going to pray also that you will be mentally alert and spiritually receptive to what this lesson will teach. So let us seek the face of God even now. Father, we give you glory, we give you praise and honor today. I thank you for every student and staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary, every person who's listening live and by archives to this message. I pray that your Holy Spirit will come afresh upon them as it did on Pentecost, that you will give them special utterance to speak in different languages and in their own language with understanding to persons that they witness to. We pray that people's hearts and minds will be prepared to receive the message and the witness that they will share with them. So even now, open our eyes of understanding, open our wisdom, open our obedience to follow after you in all things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to Session 2 of the course Personal Evangelism. This is course number 5 of our Associate Degree in Christian Theology program, and this session is entitled Be Prepared. Now, if you will study last week's lesson, it started out with Follow the Pattern, and the first part of the pattern is to be prepared. So, as we begin the introduction for this week's lesson, I want you to look at the first paragraph of the introduction for this week's lesson. If you look at your study guide, you will see it listed under the heading Lesson 2, Be Prepared. And the introduction starts like this. Do you remember the day you started learning to read? You may have had a difficult time. At first, you knew nothing about reading. Then you were taught to read the first letters of the alphabet. Soon you could read a word, then a sentence, and step by step you learn to read. Until now, it is a very natural thing. So as we think about that first paragraph of our introduction, we see that we don't immediately become expert personal evangelists. So let me ask you this question. How can we apply the meaning of the second paragraph, which says, perhaps you remember also a time when you were being trained for your job. You did not learn everything in one day, but you learned it a little at a time. You practiced what you learned until you were able to do the work well. Now, this is the same in your Christian witnessing. There is much, as we will go through this lesson, there's much to learn as you prepare to share Christ with others. So we see, as we think about that second paragraph, that we must put into practice what we learn as we learn it. And this is why this associate in our practical ministry program are courses that you can apply to your life as well as to your ministry as soon as you learn it. You don't have to wait until you complete the entire degree program or certificate program to put the lessons that you learn into practice. And we're going to see as we continue to study this week's lesson that if we don't put into practice what we learn, it's almost like trying to steer a parked car. You may be turning the wheel, but you're not changing direction and you're not really going anywhere or accomplishing anything. So again, I want to remind you, as we did last week, we asked you to think of one person that you wanted to share Christ with, a person that you may think or believe that may not know Christ, and I want you to make note of that name again today. I want you to put that name on a blank sheet of paper so that as you go through this lesson, we're asking the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and open the heart of this person to be able to receive our witness. Now, I also want you to think about some of the opportunities that you may have had since our last lesson to talk with that person or with someone else about Jesus. And since last week's lesson, I want you to think about the difference. Think about the difference in your attitude toward witnessing since lesson one. I want you to particularly try to make note of things like increased compassion and love for the lost. Perhaps you have a greater desire to witness or a boldness in witnessing that you did not have before. So these are all some of the things that I want to be on your mind as we prepare to study this week's lesson review. Now let's go over the main headings for this week's review. The main headings that we're going to look at is one, learn to know Christ. The second main heading we're going to look at is be filled with the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, we're going to talk about use the best tools. These are three things we're going to discuss in this week's review that will help us to be prepared in personal evangelism. So let's begin with our first major heading. Our first objective asks us to explain how we can know Christ better. And in this session and in your study guide, we want to be able to explain the difference between coming to know Christ as the initial preparation for witness, that is, witnesses telling of their salvation experience, and a lifetime of knowing Him, which continually increases our ability to be His witness. So you can write down some of the ways in which you became stronger as you came to know the Lord over a longer length of time. I'm sure many of you, as it was for myself, you've come to understand the depth, the breadth, the height, and the length, and the width of the love of Christ. Usually when we first begin something, we see it through very narrow eyesight. We almost have a tunnel vision, so to speak. But as you continue to walk with the Lord and you grow and you discover and you experience different things, as you share the experiences of others, your perspective broadens. That has been the case for me as I learned to know Christ over the years. Now also, on that same blank sheet of paper, if you have one, I want you to identify both strong and weak areas in your relationship with Christ. Identify some areas where you feel you're strong in and areas where you feel you're weak or you need improvement in. And think about how each of these areas has affected your witness. So take a moment right now as you look over that list, or if you think of those strong and weak areas of your life, take a moment now to pray silently, asking God to show you what He wants you to do daily or weekly to strengthen the weak areas of your relationship with Christ. Go ahead and take a few seconds to express that prayer to God that He will strengthen you in those weak areas. And so this will help us as we prepare ourselves for personal evangelism. First thing we need to do is to learn to know Christ and to know Christ better, growing in this ongoing relationship with Jesus. Our second major heading for this review is be filled with the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. This objective asks us to describe how the Holy Spirit can help us in personal evangelism. We realize that we don't have to try to evangelize in our own strength and our own power, but we have power that God has given us, and this is the power of the Holy Spirit. So as you look at your study guide, the first heading under be filled with the Spirit is that you need power. You need power. If you were to read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll see where the scripture says, to paraphrase, that, and you shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So let me ask you a question, students. What is the one reason Jesus gave for the disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, we see in that context of Scripture and our study guide that the answer is the one reason Jesus gave for the disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to receive power or ability to be a witness for Jesus. So this is part of what Peter proclaims on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2, when the people asked him, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, which will give them the power and ability to be witnesses of Jesus. Now, you can think of some other reasons that are often given to encourage people to seek to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people may say wisdom and guidance, understanding, discerning the Spirit. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see Paul listed some of the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. These are also some of the other reasons why it is important for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the first and number one reason that we need to understand, as Jesus meant, was that we will receive power to be witnesses. In whatever language we speak or languages we don't speak, we receive the power and the ability to be able to communicate and witness effectively once we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Another question we want to think about in relation to be filled with the Spirit is, why did Jesus not mention any of these other reasons for being filled? As I mentioned, what Paul listed in 1 Corinthians 12 about words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles and such. Well, we feel that Jesus wanted to focus the early disciples' attention on the power for witnessing, because they may have thought this seemed like an impossible task. They may have been consumed with fear and doubt and anxiety. But when the power of God will be granted to them, we notice that Peter, who was once afraid and denied Christ, once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he had a boldness and the fear was gone. And so we see that the earliest disciples grew and understood the other benefits by their experience. As they experienced witnessing for Christ, they saw how the power of Christ continued to be expanded in their lives and how they became to be more aware of the power that was available through Christ for them to accomplish the task at which he had spoken them. And he will do the same thing for each and every one of us as well. There may be things that you feel inadequate to do, and that's perfectly normal. Because this is Paul said to the church in Corinthians, God's grace is sufficient for you. His power, his ability will be working through you. So again, we're studying our course, personal evangelism session 2 about be prepared. And so we learned first that we need to learn to know Christ initially, and then we need to learn to know Christ better. Secondly, we're talking about now be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, as you see in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 40, you notice that the early disciples were given the power, ability to speak in other tongues, to speak in tongues, as people sometimes say. That means speak in different languages. This was one of the first evidences to the early disciples that the power of Christ, and not only was evidence to the early disciples, but it was evidence to those that they witnessed to, that there's some supernatural power must be working in these men in order for them to have the ability to speak in our own language. So as you read Acts chapter 2, you'll see the response of the people who heard the early disciples witnessing, and they said, are not all these men Galileans? Which means they speak a different language than us. How is it that we can now hear them speaking in our own language? That's what the gift of tongues was, in order to manifest the power and ability of God to be witnesses. So we see why that was practical and important, because in order for the early disciples who did not speak these other languages, in order for them to witness effectively to people who only understood other languages, they had to have the power or ability to speak in their language. And that's what we see as we read again Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We see the result that Jesus was looking for was their action as a witness. And we see Peter demonstrated this when he preached boldly, whereas only weeks earlier he had denied that he even knew Jesus. So we see the power of God at work. And these are the things that the early disciples experienced as they came to know Christ and continued to grow and to have their perspective expanded and how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Also, like to explain to you as we talk about this session that speaking in tongues or languages is a miracle of God. It gives a person the ability to speak a language that they have never learned. So this is impossible to do without God's help. And the same Holy Spirit will help us to speak in different languages if necessary, or to give effective understanding through the language that we speak, through words of wisdom and knowledge. And we could not do these things apart from God's help. So this experience that we see of speaking in tongues or speaking with clarity, as Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, I'd rather speak 5 words of understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Because what makes the gospel effective is the ability for us to communicate the good news of Christ in a way that our listeners can understand and grow from it. And this is what being filled with the Holy Spirit gives us the power and ability to do. So we realize that just as we depend on Christ when we are speaking in tongues for witnesses, we depend on Christ to give us every ability or utterance that is necessary for the gospel to be communicated effectively through our lives. Make note of Acts chapter 2, verse 4, where you'll see the word utterance given. And this is the same word that is used in Acts 2, verse 14. And it's used to describe Peter raising his voice and declaring to the crowd. You see the boldness, the power and ability that Peter now has, as opposed to him denying that he even knew Christ when one little girl pointed out that he was with Jesus as well. So the same spirit that's mentioned in Acts 2, verse 4, and Acts 2, verse 14, enabled both utterances, enabled him to raise his voice and declare to the crowd. So that is part of being filled with the Spirit. So far you see you need power, and now we're going to see that we need leading. We need leading or guidance. And so this part of the lesson asks us to refer to Acts chapter 8, verse 14, as well as Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 31. Go ahead and make note of that if you have not already read those portions of Scripture. Do so. And as you look at that portion of Scripture, you will observe again that the Holy Spirit led Philip away from a great revival to send him to one person. Make note also of Acts chapter 16 that your lesson made reference to. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. And we can observe that on Paul's second missionary journey, the Holy Spirit told him where not to witness and then showed him where to witness. So by this we stress how much we need the Holy Spirit leading to bring us at the right time to those who are ready to respond to God's love for them. This is why you not only need power, but you need leading. So maybe some of you can testify to the Spirit leading in your witness. So think about that, how you may have felt led or been led by the Holy Spirit to witness to someone. And how do you know when it is the Spirit speaking to you? Think about that for just a moment. Now, if you look at the study guide for you to do section on page 33, I want you to refer to that in your study guide And I like to stress that the most important reason for the Spirit helping us to witness is not the benefit we receive, but the benefit others receive because the Spirit helps us to help them. So with that in mind, let me ask you this question. What was the most important thing that happened on the day of Pentecost? Some people may say that the early disciples spoke in these unknown tongues. That was great, but that wasn't the greatest thing that happened. The greatest thing that happened was the result of their ability or power to speak in these languages, and that is that 3,000 people were saved. That was the most important thing that happened on Pentecost. So this is why we must focus on the message and not the messenger, the effect that the message has. And this is why we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is why we need power. This is why we need leading. So far, as we've reviewed this lesson about being prepared, we see that we need to learn to know Christ. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And the reason why we need to be filled with the Spirit is because we need power and we need leading. Now, our third section of this review will deal with use the best tools. Our third objective asks us to explain what tools are needed to be able to resist the devil and share the good news about Jesus. The first thing we need is the sword of the Spirit. You can look at pages 33 to 36 of your study guide. And I'd like to comment that the sword of the Spirit, or the Word of God that we have contained in the Bible, is a weapon that was fashioned by the Spirit through the people who wrote it. It is a weapon of the Spirit, students, only as people use it with the help of the Spirit. So it's a spiritual weapon to be used under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit. So when the sword of the Spirit is used by, for instance, by the arm of the flesh or by deceiving spirits, it is very destructive, as seen in cult groups which quote widely from the Bible to accomplish their deception. We must also remember that Satan quoted scripture to try to mislead Jesus in the wilderness. You can see an example of this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. So I'd like to explain to you that the purpose of this course is to present a biblical view of personal evangelism, equipping believers to present a biblical message to those who are lost or who may not know Christ. And it is only as we speak biblical truth under the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit can we expect to see people delivered from death to life. In other words, we can only expect to see the results that we saw through the example of Peter on Pentecost, that 3,000 people were saved with one exhortation under the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage each of you to examine everything you read and hear in this course in light of the scripture. This is why the lesson material, and I give you scripture references for you to be able to look at. I also want you to raise any questions you may have over whether anything that is said is faithful to God's word or contradicts God's word. Feel free to contact us through the school email, through our live chat line, and we'll be able to try to address the questions with you. Now, on a blank sheet of paper, I want you to write down some of the following things. I want you to write down what the part of God's armor that Paul talked about in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And you'll see that one of the things, the final thing that he mentioned was that, and that he takes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I want you to think about how you can strengthen the use of the sword of the Spirit. Remember, since it is a sword of the Spirit, it must be yielded to the Spirit of God to control, to give you the ability, to give you the power to know how and when to use it. So I want you to continually remind yourself that you must yield your spirit to God's spirit for him to be able to allow the sword of the spirit to be used effectively through you. So one of the best tools is the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Another tool is the name of Jesus. So I like to explain that when we go in the name of Jesus, it is his command that we are obeying, and it is his authority that we come to others in. People's responses to our message, when it is a faithful expression of his message, is their response to him, not their response to us. You see, Peter told Ananias and Sapphira that they had lied to God, not unto him. They lied to the Holy Spirit. So if we keep these truths in mind, it will help us to be bold in our witness. If we are faithful in obeying and walking in the authority that Jesus gave us, the message is designed for people to respond to Christ, not to us. So I want you to identify various names of Jesus that minister to you. Some people may write Jesus' name as a Prince of Peace, maybe the image of God, the Son of God, a brother, a redeemer, foundation, the light of the world, a good shepherd, a deliverer, the Lord of Lords, an intercessor. Some may list Jesus as an author and finisher of faith, an advocate, a priest, a healer, a judge. Some may say he's the Lord of glory, a light, life, a friend, a rewarder, and a savior. So in conclusion for this week's review, I want you to indicate whether or not you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you have, whether or not God has given you a supernatural power or ability in order to witness to others. And I want to pray for each person right now to either be filled with the Holy Spirit or to get a refreshing from the Holy Spirit to give you the power for witness. And if you feel like you need to be filled with the Spirit or be baptized for the first time or refilled with the Spirit, we want to right now at this time ask Jesus to fill us. Right now, just think about the lacking or area where you want to be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you need to be reinvigorated to witness to Jesus, to overcome fear, doubt. So right now, I encourage you to focus on Jesus, your baptizer. And as you receive faith in your heart, I want you to step out in that faith and begin to speak to God in whatever way you're led by the Spirit. However the Holy Spirit give you utterance for whatever position of your body. Maybe praying silently, maybe praying out loud. Maybe just bowing down, maybe just raising your hand and praying. I want you to think about that. And you want to praise God in advance of what he's doing in your life. Now, we also have another visual aid for this lesson, students, about be prepared. And we'll try to share the visual aid, but it wants us to know that whatever we do, we need to depend on God's ability to do it, that we need to depend on the Holy Spirit for help and witnessing every time we are with unbelievers. We want to be alert to God providing opportunity for witness, and we want to be ready to step out in faith when those times come. So in conclusion, let me remind you, students, that God does not confine himself to guiding us to do things within our own comfort zone. We saw in the case of Peter that walking on water was not within Peter's comfort zone, but it was what God asked him to do. So may you be empowered with the power and ability to do whatever it is God is asking you to do, and may the Spirit of God bring great, effective use of your witness. In Jesus' name, amen. We look forward to speaking with you on our next session, students. God bless you as you be prepared to witness for him. Amen.